With, I'd like to thank you so much for last Sunday. I don't know when Congregation Appreciation Day or month is, but I appreciate Pastor Appreciation Day and month. The cards, the love, the things said, the gift, thank you so much. And for those of you that particularly asked me this morning, yes, there is a misspelling on our sign. Red Waits is responsible for that. And my name is not Mike Petrie. So, I'd like to ask you a few questions, because you see that our message this morning is on purpose. What's the purpose of my life? Let me just ask you these three questions. Just ponder this. Answer this just in your head. What is it that I truly want? If you're thinking out of life, out of my existence, what is it that I truly want? Second one, what is it that I deeply care about? And the third question, what is it that I would like my life to be dedicated to? Do you know most people today in the world cannot answer those three questions? And so I would go on, I would say, what is the one area in your life? Just pick one. Where you're truly focused on it for its own sake, not what it will bring you or give you, but for its own sake, simply because you care so much about it that your energies just naturally flow into its support and into making sure you bring it into reality. What's that area of your life? Because I can tell you, and I know that you've experienced this, if you do not address this purpose question, you can come upon some pretty hard walls in your life. Late 70s, early 80s in Central Illinois, I worked at Caterpillar Tractor. 23,000 of us were laid off indefinitely at once. Back then it took about 25 years seniority at Caterpillar just to sweep the floor. These are people that had spent decades working for that company, thought they would retire at that company, that company treasured and valued them, and they gave everything they had for that company. Their purpose in life was to provide for their family and work at their factory, and that was taken from them. And there was a lot of suicides, people that I knew. At the same time, if you remember Farm Aid and all that was going on, Central Illinois again, Grain Belt, farmers that had farms in their families for generations because of debt, because of what was going on in the economy, were losing their farms, they were being auctioned off, their equipment and their land before them, and they had nothing, nowhere to live, nothing to do. Their purpose was to farm, and it was taken from them. And there was a lot of farmers going into banks in Central Illinois and shooting their banker right at the desk. There's a lot of farmers committing suicide. Fast forward to North Carolina. What you've been going through for the last 10 years here, people that have spent decades in textile industries or furniture industries, and their purpose was to give a good day's work and provide for their family and then live their life, and it was taken from them. People thought Google would come in and I'll retrain myself at Caldwell Community College and I'll get an education in computer science. And they found they were competing for jobs at Google with people around the world, literally. People younger, faster, smarter, with experience. They had no purpose. It was taken from them. If your purpose in life is no greater than being a husband or wife to my spouse, being a parent to my children, being a good worker and providing for my family, you may run against a wall at some point in your life where you're not able to answer those questions I asked you, and you stand at the precipice with no purpose in your life, and you make a decision, am I going to go on or aren't I? Because I don't have anything to live for. So it's an important question. Every human being is driven by something. And when you think of purpose, you think of the people you know, some people are driven by guilt. Some people are driven through their life by fear, some by resentment, some by anger, some by their past. They just say, I can't control my life, I'm stuck, I'm this way because of what happened to me, and it affects their entire future. Some people are driven by their parents. 40 years later, they're still trying to please mom or dad, and they live their lives to that end. Some people are driven by peer pressure, and they look around and say, what would my friends do or think? And it affects who they are. Some are driven by their partner. They are in a domineering marriage, and who they are and what they do is literally dictated by their spouse. I want to suggest to you this morning, for you to really live your life, a purpose-driven life, find God's purpose for your life. Let that be the driving force that can never be taken away. Because in Ephesians 3:10 we read, for we are God's masterpiece. He had created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. God is our maker. We are united with Christ. He created us with certain talents and a heart and abilities and life experiences, a shape, if you will, spiritual gifts. He has created us uniquely and with a purpose, a mission. He created us to accomplish those things, God's Word says. And so the good news is this: God has a purpose for your life. When everything else gets stripped away and taken from you, God has a purpose in your life. The tragedy is most people will go through life working on the surface level and never discover or come to grips with what that is. What's my niche? Where do I fit? If I know this or that is taken away from me, I am still standing on the firm foundation of accomplishing what God put me on earth to do. You see, three levels most people live their lives on, right on your outline, the survival level. Barely eke out life. You don't really live. You exist. Don't you know people that are always in crisis? I know those people. Some of those people are in my family. I've got friends that way. Always in crisis. Barely eking out a living. Always some type of thing going on. And they put their time in and they just hope for the weekend so they can party. We have generations of people like that. The next level is a success level. This is probably where most of you are today. You have established a certain life where you are successful in what you do for employment, and you have certain possessions and a presence and priorities in your life and pleasures, and you have arrived, if you will. You've hit that success level, but I can tell you through the decades in the ministry, I have had very wealthy, very successful people in my office and say, Pastor, if I'm really so successful, why don't I feel fulfilled? Why do I feel so empty? Why do I have this gnawing uncertainty about why I'm here? Because ultimately, success does not satisfy. But then you see the third level of living there, significance. Beyond survival, beyond success to discovering the significance, what is significant about my life and what I'm accomplishing for God, to feel like my life matters, I count, I'm making a difference, I'm not taking up space, I'm not just using resources, but I am making a difference. I understand there is a meaning and a purpose to my life. People who've discovered that significance, that have discovered that God has a plan for me, He has a purpose for me, He put me here on earth for me to accomplish that, they find significance. And I want to suggest that to be all that you were meant to be, that you need to discover God's purpose, develop it, maintain it, fulfill it. I've given you a couple examples from Scripture. You see them there from purpose-driven lives. Acts 13:36. David served God's purpose in his generation, then he died. I would love to have that written on my tombstone. Either we hate to return imperfect merchandise, that would probably be my first choice, or this: he served God's purpose in his generation, and then he died. I don't know a better epitaph than that. Why was David a man after God's own heart? Scripture tells us that. Because he did with his life what God made him, wanted him to accomplish. He was exactly whom God made him to be, and he fulfilled the purpose God gave him to do. Does that mean there weren't bumps, there weren't shortcomings, there weren't failings along the way? No. But he still discovered and accomplished that. Look at Paul. He had a life mission. Look at that verse. I reckon my own life to be worth nothing to me in order that I may complete my mission and finish the work the Lord Jesus gave me to do. I want to give you five benefits. You see them in your outline there of a purpose-driven life. First, if you can get to that level of significance, it reduces the frustration in your life tremendously. And one of the reasons that we are less patient as a people, I'm talking about everybody in this country, in this world, less patient, more uptight, more prone to outbursts, more prone to road rage, more prone to terrible activities with lethal weapons that you see in the news all the time. We live in a world of multiple choice, of incredible options, where the decisions that we have to make are just exponentially increased on a daily, weekly basis. Decision-making becomes more frustrating, and we get frustrated by the indecisiveness of the world. And when we don't know our purpose, then the decisions and the rapidity that they come at us just tend to make us frustrated. James 1, 6, 7. A doubtful mind is unsettled as a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. So you get pushed back and forth. You're not sure why you're here, what you should be doing. You don't know your purpose. James 1:8, the double-minded man can never keep a steady course. That great theologian, Alice in Wonderland, that said, if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. That's true. But you can get there a whole lot quicker if you know where you're going. The frustration level in your life can be reduced tremendously because every time you make a decision, you can ask yourself, will this decision fulfill the purpose that God has given me and He wants me to accomplish? And if it doesn't, then I don't do it. Many of you may have felt like Isaiah. I've labored to no purpose. I've spent my strength in vain and for nothing. Isaiah goes on to say, I don't know why I am working. I spend my time, but what difference does it make? What's my purpose? Later Isaiah did say in Isaiah 26, 3, you, Lord, give perfect peace to those who keep their purpose firm. Peace comes from knowing my purpose in life. Look at number two, second benefit. It will increase my motivation. Once you discover and feel like I am working towards accomplishing how God wired me up and why He put me here, then all of a sudden you have a reason to get out of bed, and instead of saying, good Lord, it's morning, you can say, good morning, Lord. Thank you for another day. Motivated to fulfill what God made you to be. Yet some people feel like Job. My life drags by, day after hopeless day. I'm tired of living. My life makes no sense. I know people like that. Job here, he has an emotional flat tire. He's saying, if I don't have any purpose, if I don't have any sense of meaning in my life, therefore it's hopeless, and if I don't have any purpose, then I don't have any motivation. Why get up and even go through the motions? What's the secret to energy, to enthusiasm, to embracing life? You've seen people like that, that just live life to the fullest. It's a purpose-driven life. Jeremiah 29, 11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. This is God speaking of you. They're plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. God says He wants to give you a future and a hope. When your marriage is gone, when your children have moved out, when you've lost your job, when you're of the age or season in life when you think you may never get another job. And God says, wait a second. I'm going to give you a future and a hope, so much so that you will have enthusiasm. Ephesians 3:20, God is able to do far more than we would ever dare to ask or even dream of, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes. Look at the third benefit. It will allow more concentration. The fact is, you and I don't have time for everything that we attempt in life, want to be involved in life, are asked to do in life. And our purpose in life not only defines what we are going to be about, it not only defines our priorities, but it defines our anti-priorities, if you will. It defines what business we're in, and it defines how we are monitoring what is our business. Peter Drucker, when he was alive, probably the number one management consultant, he said this. He was asked this question. What is the most basic thing that every business owner needs to know? This was his answer. There's only two questions related to business that you never ever need to ask yourself. What is my business, and how's business? So I would say that with your life. Every individual needs to ask, what did God put me here on earth for, and how's business? How am I accomplishing that purpose? Philippians 3:13, I'm bringing all my energies to bear on this one thing, forgetting what is behind and looking forward to what lies ahead. Why wasn't Paul distracted? Why wasn't Paul sidetracked with everything that happened to Paul, with scourgings and beatings and shipwrecks and Jews chasing him and all the horrible things? Why didn't any of those derail him? Because he said, I'm focusing, concentrating, bringing all my energies to bear on this one thing, forgetting what has happened, what's behind, and I'm looking forward, I'm focusing to accomplishing that purpose that lies ahead. Life focused has tremendous power. Life diffused has little power. Think of it in terms of light. You can have a flashlight. A flashlight is a good thing. It accomplishes a purpose. But think of a laser. Light focused, and how many more things you can do with that. Is your life a flashlight, or is your life focused, a laser? Focus your life on the things that really count. Nothing is as powerful as a life lived on purpose. I have known so many people in my ministries that were this, and fill in the blank, whatever they do for a living. But what they have done, if they said, yes, I do this to provide for my family and to meet the needs of this earth, but because I was, and then fill in the blank, an alcoholic or drug addict, now I am so involved in ministering to those who are trying to recover. Because I am this is what I do for a living, but because I was a biker, now I have a ministry to motorcyclists, and on it goes. Because I love youth, I'm involved in youth. Because I have a heart for those that are incarcerated, or I did some time, that I want to be involved in a prison ministry. So yes, they have something that they have to accomplish for the things of the flesh, but what they focused on, what they feel that God has given them a purpose to fulfill, is this particular thing that God has brought them through experiences in a life where then they can with clarity say, yes, this is how I can serve my God. This is what He created me for. Ephesians 5:15, 17. Pay close attention to how you live. Make good use of every opportunity you get. Find out what the Lord wants you to do. Henry David Thoreau in Walden Pond said, most men live lives of quiet desperation. Well, if you modernize that today, I would say today most people live lives of aimless distractions. But when you know your purpose in life, it allows you to take advantage of opportunities that are right for you, allows you to say no to opportunities that aren't right for you. This gentleman in my last church, Mark, very successful businessman. He was in the commercial reinsurance business, had his own agency, very successful, very large giver, had the gift of giving. Could have been involved in 100 things, but stayed in the marketplace because that's where God put him, and yet his ministry was to the youth. He wrote a curriculum. He led a dynamic ministry. He had people coming alongside of him because he understood that his purpose was to minister to high school age boys. He knew who it was and what it was to be about, and he put everything he had to it. It's a wonderful example of purpose. Look at the fourth benefit. Having a purpose-driven life will attract cooperation. The amazing thing is that when you figure out what's going on in your life, what your purpose is, what you're supposed to accomplish, there are so few people that really know what to do with that when they see someone like that, they will come alongside and say, "Yes, I see what you're doing. I agree with that. I want to be about that. I want to come alongside and I want to help you. That's the right direction. I want to go along too." And Mark, that had that high school boy youth ministry in this last church, never had to recruit, never had a problem with volunteers, because people would see what he was about and the passion he had and the good works he was doing, and they wanted to come along. Typically fathers of the boys, they wanted to come along and be a part of it too. Persons with all sorts of talents and concerns and skills, when they see what you are accomplishing, God will bring them into your life to help fulfill that purpose he wants to do through you. Ezra 10:4. The people said, "Tell us how to proceed in setting things straight, and we will fully cooperate." In other words, a life lived on purpose will attract cooperation. And fifth, finally, look at number 5. When I begin to discover and develop and fulfill God's purpose for my life, it will prepare me for God's evaluation. God made you for a purpose. There's a purpose for each and every one of us being alive on this earth today. God has invested in you certain gifts and talents and abilities in you. He's given them to you, not just to make money, although you may use those to get by in this world, but he's given you those for a purpose, and God will expect a return on his investment. We see plenty of teachings on that. He doesn't just want you to use those talents and gifts and abilities for selfish reasons, just to make an earthly existence, but he says there is an eternal return on this investment that I am going to hold you accountable for. And so one day he's going to do an audit of our lives. Romans 14. We will all stand before God's judgment seat, so then each of us will give account of himself to God. God wants you to pass this final test. And so he says, I'm going to give you the answers ahead of time. And one day when you stand before God, he's going to say, "What did you do with my son Jesus Christ? Of your own free will choice, did you make a decision for trusting and depending upon him for your salvation and your righteousness and getting into heaven on his ticket? What did you do with my son Jesus Christ?" The second question he's going to ask you is, what did you do with your life? So that you feel significant on earth, but also so that one day when you stand before an almighty God and he asks those two questions, what did you do with my son and what did you do with your life while you were here on the earth, you can have the right answer, that you didn't waste it, that you did make it count, that you discovered what you sense was God's purpose for your life and how he wired you up, and you put all your efforts like a laser towards accomplishing it. So how do you get started? You see those two preliminary things. First, believe. Believe that God has a purpose for my life. God does not create things without a purpose. God did not create you without a purpose and a mission. Proverbs 16:4. The Lord has made everything for his purpose. That includes everything. You are made to be you. God takes tremendous pleasure in watching you individually be you. Your temperament, your personality, your emotions, how you're wired up, what you're interested in, what you love, what you do. He loves watching you as his creation be exactly who you were meant to be. You bring glory to God, not when you fulfill somebody else's expectation for you, but when you fulfill God's expectation for you. To be what God meant for you to be all along. Here's the second thing you need to do to get squared away. Receive. You cannot have a God-given purpose in your life unless you are a child of God. Ephesians 1, 4, and 5, received God's Son into my life. Long ago, even before He made the world, He chose us to be His own through what Christ would do for us. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into His own family by sending Jesus Christ to die for us, and He did this because He wanted to. Do you want to know how much your life matters, regardless of what's been taken from you on this earth in your life? How much you matter to God just because of who you are and how you were created? How much your life matters to God? It matters so much that you could ask Jesus Christ, when His arms are outstretched and He's dying on the cross in that horrible way that He did, and He, in His perfect foreknowledge, already had you in mind and did that. He said, I love you this much. You individually matter to me so much. You are here for a purpose. Jesus Christ's life was the greatest example of accomplishing purpose, of knowing why you was there. How many times did He say, I have been sent for this purpose? I was not sent for this purpose. So you establish that relationship with Jesus Christ, because our sufficiency, our significance comes from who we are in Christ. And then our purpose flows from that. Do you know, and I've done a little of this, there are a lot of consultants and people and million-dollar best-selling business books, I've got a couple, few of them, that are put out today because we have so many people that are standing at that precipice of their life with no purpose. I no longer have a career. With the economy the way it's been the last 3 or 4 years, you have seen it in the news. People that have had businesses for generations now have been taken from them and have gone under. That never thought anything but their family business that they have been involved in since they were a child and that their parents and their grandparents invested in, all of a sudden is gone. And you're standing there with nothing to do, no purpose in life. And there are books and there are people that will come alongside you and try and rediscover. And they go all the way back when you were a small child. What did you love to do? What were you passionate about? What were your natural abilities? They start there and they take you all the way up into the present time to try and discover what should the rest of your life be about. And they ask you these three simple questions. Who am I? What do I want my life to be or look like? And what would this type of person do? They ask those three questions for you to try and articulate and figure out how are you going to maneuver, make your way through the rest of this life on earth? How will you earn a living? What will your work be? What type of person will you be? I propose to you, you can take it even further back than that. On what did God create me for? What purpose should I accomplish for Him? Because that will never be taken from me. Let's pray. Father God, You have what fills that aching void in so many lives of quiet desperation and aimless distraction today. That void that befalls mankind, You have the relief for that pain that will not go away. You can fill that emptiness that nothing else will fill. You can give purpose to that meaningless existence. Our dignity, our value, our significance, Lord, is found in You and knowing You and Your purpose for our individual lives. May we partner together in this journey as we discover and fulfill just that. In Jesus' name, amen.